You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you know that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we chat about SummerSlam, Randy Orton, Psycho Sid, Brooke Hogan, Destination X, and, of course, AJ Lee. My name is David, and I am joined today by my good friend Alex. How are you doing, my friend?
You know, the WWE could never figure it out, but sports drafts, I'm really excited for, and tomorrow's the NBA draft. I'm super excited for it, so I'm doing very well.
You know, I'm really excited for it, too. I like it actually much better than the NFL draft.
You know, I like the NFL draft. I feel a little bit more because I feel like guys in the second and third round could still come in and be players. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you get a guy in the lower first or even the second round, generally they might not even come to the country in a lot of cases. But your first 10, 15 picks, I mean, they're going to be highly focused players. And it's just interesting having new faces in the league, you know?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think the reason I like the NBA more is because one guy can come in and completely change a franchise. I think it's a little harder to do in pro football, but I've been reading the mock drafts all week, and I'm a Carolina fan, so we got some Carolina players in the draft. I'm really excited.
I'm very, very excited. You know, I mean, I've been reading the press all week, and a lot of people are tearing down Michael Gilchrist's game. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go too far into this, but if I'm any general manager except for the Hornets, I'm drafting Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I mean, this kid was nothing but great at Kentucky, and I look forward to seeing the college kids take their game to the next level against the pros we all know and love.
Yeah, now, we could do a whole show on that, but I guess we should focus on wrestling. We have a lot of great wrestling to discuss, so what do you think? Should we get started?
Hey, let's ring the bell.
World Wrestling Entertainment. It looks like SummerSlam will feature Brock Lesnar versus Triple H and CM Punk versus John Cena in kind of a co-main event. Doesn't sound bad to me. Alex, what do you think? Do you think that these are two matchups worthy of what they would call the biggest show of the summer?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they build both matches up. Right now, CM Punk versus John Cena doesn't sound very interesting to me. That was actually the main event last year from SummerSlam, and not that that really means anything, but I'll be interested to see what kind of story they have going into it. Now, Lesnar and Triple H can be very interesting. I like the utilization of Paul Heyman. What are your feelings on SummerSlam?
Well, I like the utilization of Paul Heyman as well. However, I do feel they're losing some momentum here with Brock Lesnar. I was so excited in April when he came back. I thought it was a good way to go after WrestleMania, all that build-up with The Rock. But this contract they have with him, where he can only be on TV so much and they limit his appearances, then they have him lose to Cena in his first match. I don't know. I think on paper it sounds great, but I'm not dying to see it. Talk me out of this.
You know what, David? I think part of you is correct. You know, I think that it may have not been the best idea for him to lose John Cena initially, but as being a fight fan, a fan of the UFC, I find that a lot of fights are really hit home the last week. So if they're able to have Brock Lesnar come in the last 3 weeks to really sell the show, I think that's the proper utilization for him, because we've seen so many big names get signed. First name that comes to mind is Goldberg.
Yeah.
Goldberg was coming, he was brought in, he was on television almost weekly, and very soon after, he was made into a regular character. You know, it's just like what I was discussing with the draft. Anthony Davis, his first few games, he's going to be very interesting. Andrew Luck, his first couple games with the Colts, he's going to be very interesting. But as soon as he starts playing every week, he's going to lose that appeal. And I think that's the proper way to use Brock, is bring him in for a little bit and take him away. Bring him in for a little bit and take him away. So I'm fine with that aspect of it. Now, him losing to Cena, that's a different discussion.
I'm not sure I'm crazy about these part-time guys. The Rock, he came in every now and again, did some promos, and the match with Cena was great, but now we have kind of another part-time main eventer that they're going to put in a pretty good spot here in SummerSlam. the part-time thing, that it works for you? Because it seems to me you got to use guys on your roster.
Well, you know, I mean, I believe those are two separate arguments. I mean, I am a fan of the part-time people, but then secondarily, I believe that they do need to establish new main eventers. I mean, every week I hear from fans on my other radio show about how Dolph Ziggler is being pushed. David, he's not being pushed. He loses on television every week.
Yeah, he
gets world title shots after losses. That's not a push in any sense. So, yes, I like I said, I'm a fan of the part-time main eventers, but also they do need to establish new superstars to properly utilize the part-time guys. I mean, if Dolph Ziggler was winning every week and doing whatever creates a successful wrestler, and then they paired him against someone like The Rock, it'd be an interesting matchup.
Real quick, before we move on, Punk Cena last year, like you said, showing, you know, it was a feature match at SummerSlam. Where does CM Punk stand with you a year after that pipe bomb, that big interview that he did? Is he losing momentum for you, or is he still red hot?
He's definitely not red hot. We're going to discuss AJ a little bit. You know, he's kind of on a treadmill to me, personally. I mean, he's kind of at the same place he was last year, and I believe a little bit before, during the build-up to Money in the Bank, I feel like he was at his hottest, and then he kind of came down and kind of feel like he's in the same place.
I can't believe this, but AJ has become a really fun part of WWE television. I'm enjoying her work. And, Alex, is this the strongest Divas storyline in ages? It kind of is to me.
Absolutely. I think it is the strongest Divas storyline in ages. But here comes Mr. Negativity in the room. I feel like it's good to a fault because I felt like the storyline has been so entertaining that they've continued it long past its point of getting anything good out of it.
Huh.
I mean, I would have been interested in seeing the storyline either take a sharp left or a sharp right at the pay-per-view, but instead we were kind of left with ambiguity. And we continue to be in this ambiguous state, and now with Punk and Kane giving undesirable responses, hopefully we get some kind of sign in the road or something that lets us know we're moving on. But the storyline's really been on a treadmill, and therefore I believe all three performers, well, four if you include AJ, have been on a treadmill because of the storyline.
I do think it's an example of how character overrides everything, though. I think in professional wrestling, what we want more than anything are interesting people and interesting characters, interesting storylines. I'm not a huge fan of, wow, that was an amazing hurricanrana, or I've never seen that submission move before. I mean, I think at the end of the day, some of the wrestling is forgettable, and as long as the storylines are fun, as long as the characters are fun, we really enjoy turning on the television, and I do think AJ has been really, really a fun part of World Wrestling Entertainment. She plays that crazy, you know, whatever they call it, crazy AJ character very well. It's added some life to the Kane and you know, and to me, a character I don't usually like. But in general, I keep thinking, yes, I like AJ in this role, Alex, but this should have been Kelly Kelly to me. Because I feel like Kelly Kelly was on the roster, a huge star already, and God, I just feel like they didn't use her right. They could have made her a megastar. AJ's good. I feel Kelly Kelly could have done even better because it seemed like people just love her. Am I wrong about that?
Well, you know, I mean, it goes back to the discussion we had earlier. I mean, like you said, Kelly Kelly was already a megastar. I believe that females in wrestling, when it comes to real-world pop culture significance, can only reach a certain point.
Okay.
Tori Wilson's currently dating Alex Rodriguez, third baseman for the New York Yankees. But she's always looked at as professional wrestling chick, Tori Wilson. Same with Stacey Keibler. Kelly Kelly was in Maxim magazine. She did a lot of material outside World Wrestling Entertainment. So I thought AJ was the perfect person for this role, and I think it's shown that because she's hit home runs with her segments every week. I mean, her segment on Raw this past week was very, very good. She's very entertaining on the screen, very awesome in her role.
Well, the camera loves her.
Absolutely. And I think they've made a new star in AJ, and they've given something interesting to Kane. But I'm interested to see, like I said, them take a new direction with the story. So I feel like we've been here for so long, and if I see another three-way match between these guys, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, if you'd have told me 6 months ago that the most talked about diva was not Beth Phoenix, it was not Eve, it was not Kelly Kelly, it was not any member of Lay Cool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and it was AJ, I wouldn't have believed you, but here we are. Good for her.
You know, it's interesting because I felt like Caitlyn was the most over person on her season of NXT. And, well, AJ was number two. It's not like AJ was totally forgettable. But Caitlyn's kind of on the road, the house show tour, not really getting on television. Here's AJ blowing up our screens.
Randy Orton will eventually be cleared for action, but the question remains, does the WWE stay invested in the Apex Predator, or is it time to cut bait and move on? I have to tell you, Alex, I don't really care. I mean, I know the roster's a little thin, but I'm a little bored with Randy Orton, and if I read tomorrow that he was let go from WWE, I just wouldn't lose any sleep. I don't know. Maybe I feel like his usefulness, you know, he's reached his expiration date. Do you think he can still be a main event player for WWE?
You know, what's interesting is a couple different thoughts come to my mind. I mean, if you have Randy Orton on your roster, I don't see why you don't utilize him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he is the perfect superstar, almost, again, to a fault. Because I think, like, they try to recreate Randy Orton down in Florida by signing all the second-generation stars. But, you know, in my mind as well, I feel like he's reached a point of expiration. I don't feel like Randy Orton's done anything interesting since he kissed Stephanie McMahon before WrestleMania 25.
That was excellent.
That was excellent, but the next week with Triple H invading his house made it not so excellent. I mean, that angle was excellent. Randy Orton has been involved in a lot of great things, but in the past couple of years, he's kind of, I don't say he's coasted, but I feel like the company's kind of coasted off his past success and kind of not made him involved in anything interesting.
He is one of those superstars to me that needs to be in the right feud for me to care about him. I remember growing up, I'm a huge Hart Foundation fan, and I didn't care who they were involved with. I didn't care if it was the Killer Bees, the Rujos, whatever, the British Bulldogs. I loved them, I loved them, I loved them. And I feel like there are times with Randy Orton, you know, I really get invested in his character, and I really like watching him, but he's got to be in the right storyline, or I get really bored with him.
And you know what? I mean, as much as I like Bryan Danielson and a lot of these guys as professional wrestlers, when he's on his A game and he's super motivated, there's very few people better in the ring than Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just point back to his feud against Christian, which is one of the feuds that wasn't very entertaining in my opinion. But him and Christian just had some incredible matches.
Yeah.
And Orton was a guy for a long time. He wasn't super motivated in the ring, kind of just coasted by. But then he hit a point to where he decided he wanted to have good wrestling matches, and he did. I'm an Orton fan, but again, I would like to see him with something interesting.
Oh, by the way, he lost WrestleMania 28 to Kane, and he lost clean. And you look, you read that, or you look back on that, you're like, what? That doesn't even make sense. I don't understand what they were doing there. So I don't know. To me, Randy Orton is better as a heel. Would you bring him back as a heel, or keep him in the face that he was at the time of his suspension?
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. Have you recently heard of Randy Orton's Twitter controversy where a fan basically told him that statement, like, I would like to see you come back as a heel, and he basically agreed with the fan he would like to come back as a heel. Randy Orton as a heel or babyface, you know, I feel like he is better as a heel. But then again, I mean, he could be a heel on top of the roster, but if he's not involved in an interesting storyline, then what usefulness is he? I feel like he does drive things home better as a heel, but who's he going to feud with on SmackDown? So there's a lot of problems, I guess, with the depth of talent, but Randy Orton's an incredible talent. I definitely wouldn't just let him go. TNA Wrestling. How terrible has Brooke Hogan been on television? Nepotism at its finest. You know, this is very controversial when she was brought in to be the head of the Knockouts division. The role that Karen Jarrett assumed, and the most difficult thing was that Karen Jarrett was very excellent in her role. Brooke Hogan has been anything but that. She's been involved in a lot of pre-tape segments, which, as you know, pre-tape segments can be done as many times as you need to be, so these are obviously her best takes. It's terrible, but she's not very good, and it's unfortunate because do the Knockouts even need a head of the Knockouts division? David, have you seen any of her performances, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've seen her performances, and my thoughts are They're not positive. The thing is, I really like Hulk Hogan, and I feel like everything he does, whether it be infuse a new idea into TNA or, you know, bring in Brooke Hogan, people just crap all over him now because they're just tired of him, and he hasn't really made an impact in TNA, made them better. I think there's a role for her. She's kind of interesting. She's a good-looking girl, but I don't think they do need her. I think the TNA Knockouts are a strong group of wrestlers that get pretty good ratings for their work, and she kind of makes them feel more diva-esque. Does that make sense? Like when they bring in Snooki for WrestleMania, we don't need Brooke Hogan working with the Knockouts to make them important.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The Knockouts division has always been one of the stronger points of TNA. They have a lot of interesting women.
Yeah.
I won't say all of them are the most talented in the ring, but a lot of interesting characters at least. Velvet Sky, for everything she's lacking in the ring, has a great camera presence and is very good on screen. And ultimately what it boils down to is she needed? I mean,
right.
I don't believe the Knockouts needs a general manager per se over them. And then is Brooke Hogan that big of a name? Am I missing something to where she had to be brought into the company?
That's a great point because she's not a great talent and she's not a big enough name. She's kind of somewhere in the middle, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not like there's been a lot of cases of nepotism. I mean, Bill Watts and Eric Watts is a very famous example in WCW. Bill Watts, who was the booker at the time, brought his son in and gave him a giant push. I mean, he was a young wrestler. He had put in his time. He wasn't very good, but, you know, it is what it is. With Brooke, she's not really a wrestling talent, and she was brought in for a wrestling role. And why? To get her a paycheck? She's not really needed.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do we expect? Stars push their kids, and I don't know. It's just a sign that her country music career is not going so well.
How excellent has the rest of the roster been since going live? Seems like everyone is invested into their segments of the show, and it has been the most watchable period in the company's history. Man, I mean, that statement, I believe, says it all, is that these past month of Impact Wrestling tapings or live events, they've been the most watchable period in the company's history. There's been different parts where the product has had little gems, like a Samoa Joe segment or a Kurt Angle segment or a Sting segment or AJ Styles, but the whole show overall was pretty much unbearable. And the shows lately have been very, very good, very, very fun to watch. The last segment in last week's TNA Impact was very hard to watch with the whole Dixie AJ Styles woman who was a drug addict way to close the show. That was pretty terrible. But everything else on the show I thought was very good. What do you think about going live and how it's affected the guys on the screen?
Well, it sounds like you're saying that, you know, by going live, people are really picking up their own game. And you know, look, if they're not given the greatest material, you know, that's wrestling booking, right? People can always complain about maybe their spot on the card or what they're being given. But by going live, this may have invigorated them. Do you get that sense?
Absolutely. I mean, TNA Impact consists of 1 2-hour show a week. And unlike World Wrestling Entertainment that does 1 3-hour show now, soon upcoming, and another 2-hour show, on top of their international syndication and their internet show, it's a lot to keep up with, David. So I feel like TNA Impact has the opportunity, and I feel like they've taken advantage of it, is putting together a tightly booked and produced show, and I think they've taken full advantage of it. I mean, a lot of their stories make sense. They're episodic, like every week you can turn in and get a little nugget extra to the story. And the aspect of going live, I feel like, you know, we all heard of the reports of they would film 2 or 3 days in a row.
Right.
And they would film stuff out of order. And a lot of the guys didn't know how what they were doing now related to what they were doing tomorrow. And now it's a lot easier on the talent. You feel like the talent's buying in a lot more. And what's crazy is I feel like you can see a lot of this on the screen.
So I don't think that TNA will ever eclipse WWE in terms of popularity around the world. But do you think that they're really getting closer in terms of wrestling talent and wrestling production of an actual show?
Well, that's an interesting point because they are the second company. And if you're the second company and you're that far behind number one, I don't think that's an achievable goal.
Okay.
Now, TNA, can they be the best TNA they can be? Absolutely. And I think they're making strides to reach that. And unfortunately, I mean, Vince Russo came and he burned down the forest and buried all the seeds, and he burned a lot of the ground. But this new riding crew they have in with Bruce Pritchard and David Lagana, they've done a lot in a month to improve it. It's going to take them a while before they start seeing returns on their investments. But I think we can have a strong second product in America if they continue on this path. But to achieve anything close to what WWE's achieved, no. That's out of the question. How do you feel about the upcoming Destination X main event between Austin Aries and Bobby Roode? Is it too soon? You know, what's funny is that my friend Todd Martin, he works and writes and does podcasts on the Wrestling Observer website. And one of the things he said is that he would like to see the storyline stretched out over a long time and expect it to be. And here we are 1 week later, they announced they're doing the match at Destination X. You know, part of me feels like it's too soon, but then also part of me feels like, hey, these guys have done a good job of putting television together, putting pay-per-views together, and you're allowed to suspend your disbelief when you trust who's putting together the shows. And I feel like that's the greater point of the whole thing, is the trust factor, is that if you trust who's putting together the shows, you don't take time to really criticize it. And maybe it's a lesson World Wrestling Entertainment can learn on some fronts.
Well, I think part of this is just how wrestling is booked today, how they present it on television. When I was a kid, you know, they didn't have this many big shows every month, and so they could easily stretch a story for more than 1 month. They wouldn't rush things as much. But I will say this, Alex. Maybe it's a bit too soon for Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, but what I love about this match is that none of these guys are named Ric Flair, Sting, or Hulk Hogan, or any of these guys. I just really like the fact that TNA is looking forward, trying to develop their own stars, not bringing someone in like Brock Lesnar for spot duty, but, you know, going with some guys on their roster and trying to build that. I just, maybe it's too soon, but I give them credit. I'm looking forward to the match, and good for them. They need to, you know, if I were TNA, I would completely cut ties with the Stings of the world and go with my own identity.
You know, I disagree with that statement. I believe that you need familiar faces
okay.
to keep fans tuning in. But potentially you could gain a couple of new viewers here or there throughout the weeks. Or maybe someone will want to go see your live events. Sting doesn't very often do their house shows, but he's actually doing a couple of the house shows coming up.
So let me stop you there, though. When you hear that Sting's on, you know, Sting's going to be on TNA Impact, you don't roll your eyes?
No, I don't. Not if it's involved in something that I feel is, you know, last time Sting was on television, he was attacked by three masked men, and he was left off television last week. And personally, I'm kind of interested to see where it turns out. I don't want to see legends like Sting and even Rob Van Dam pushed very heavy on my television every week. But if they're utilized a little bit, I have no problem with that. As long as they don't embarrass themselves, which I don't believe Sting or Jeff Hardy or Rob Van Dam has done.
That's interesting. We'll have to agree to disagree. I do roll my eyes. But for this match you're talking about, this main event between Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, are we getting a clean finish?
You know, that's the thing I don't know. I can see where they would do a clean finish. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm interested to see where the story continues on from there. It seems like the story ultimately is going to end with James Storm being Bobby Roode for the title. So all these little marks in between, it'll be interesting to see what they do with them. This regime seems less to be about throwing pay-per-views and matches away. And it seems like they do little things with each match. So I'm interested to see what they do.
Wildcard topic number one. We just passed the 10-year anniversary of Chris Benoit's tragic death. The wrestling world is still feeling the effects, but do you think the impact of this incident is kind of fading over time?
I can speak for myself personally and say no. I mean, not only with the Chris Benoit, well, I can say with the Chris Benoit death, I mean, my viewing of sports completely has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I look at football concussions, I look at hockey concussions, and I want to see each sport do as much to get away from that. I was having a conversation at work about football, and my boss was telling me, I like the big hits. And I was like, well, you may, but you don't understand what it's doing to the guys.
Right.
It's completely changed the way I view everything, David.
So you think that it had far-reaching impact, not just in wrestling, but in other professional sports as well?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at recently, like the Junior Seau death, I mean, instantly my mind went to concussions, especially when you found out they shot himself in the heart, vice the head. I mean, we've had so much concussion research, and Chris Benoit is kind of like the ultimate smoking gun it wasn't all due to concussions, David. It was a multitude of things. Steroids, blah, 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 blah. But concussions definitely played a part. And now when I see guys do crazier things, it's usually at the independent level. I oftentimes cringe, and I didn't do that before. When I see a big hit football, I oftentimes cringe now, and I didn't do that before. And it's all because, I believe, of the Chris Benoit tragedy.
So do you think wrestling gets equal coverage here, though, in the sense that people feel badly for the whole Chris Benoit situation, like they feel badly for Junior Seau? You know, people love pro football, and they see the violence on the field. They still kind of look at wrestling as phony baloney. So, you know, how does the Chris Benoit tragedy kind of feel equal to the general public as not wrestling fans?
I don't think they think about it at all. I mean, like you said, wrestling's fake. So Chris Benoit is an isolated incident, and the next time wrestling has an unfortunate incident like that, we'll hear, I don't understand because it's all fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for people who were very into the Chris Benoit situation and heard, you know, about all the breaking stuff, I think it makes a lot of sense to you, but for a lot of people who didn't really care, I don't think they really understood. And you'd be surprised how many people still just say, oh, it was the steroids, because all those wrestlers are on steroids.
Right, right.
A lot of the preconceived notions about professional wrestling are ridiculous. I don't think people that aren't wrestling fans think about Chris Benoit at all.
Has the WWE done enough with this whole drug testing wellness policy to prevent something like this happening again?
You know, I'm not in the company, but just from what I watch on television, I feel like they've done a lot. I mean, it's interesting is that, you know, you look at Jeff Hardy, Edge, Christian, they were all built on the ladder matches, doing these insane bumps off very high ladders. And when guys start getting hurt at a rapid rate, WWE completely changed that and completely changed the style. And you see little things here or there. I mean, the no chair shots to the head or you get a fine. I believe little things like that are protecting the guy's head. We recently saw Alberto Del Rio get pulled from the main event, David, for the pay-per-view because he had suffered a concussion and couldn't pass his impact testing. So from what I see from the outside, WWE is at least doing things to prevent something similar to happen. But ultimately, the company can't prevent it. Wild card topic number two. Charlie Sheen has been announced as a celebrity social media ambassador for the 1,000th edition of Raw. His role would be to sit at home and tweet about the live event. What? Does this interest anyone? David, please tell me that you're intrigued by this.
Oh, this is awful. This is just awful. It doesn't interest me. Charlie Sheen is so old news. I mean, there's nothing. But by the way, live tweeting is super annoying anyway. I don't know if you follow people on Twitter that live tweet broadcasts of football or wrestling. Oh, it's so annoying. I don't have any interest in this at all.
I mean, has Charlie Sheen been following the business for the past 10 or 15 years? I mean, what even is he going to have to say relevant? Saying a lot of jokes, and is he even going to understand the product? And why would I be interested in what Charlie Sheen has to say about professional wrestling anyway? I mean, the whole thing is, I don't even think a lot of people are even going to be aware this is going to happen, David. I mean, this is so stupid.
Yeah. No, maybe the fact that we're talking about this, if people are talking about it, they've already been successful by bringing him in. I think this is ridiculous. Actually, I hated the whole Raw guest hosting thing. Remember that when Bob Barker and Seth Green and all these wackos were coming in week after week after week and having stupid backstage segments with Santino and the Divas? And this is a wrestling show. I'm not a big fan of let's bring in quirky celebrities for reasons that aren't needed.
Absolutely. I mean, it can be useful every once in a while, but if you do it every week, it kind of takes away from the appeal. And a lot of the hosts, they end up doing wacky segments, and here we are That was happening in 2009. Here we are 2012. I mean, did it really do anything for anyone's career? Can I really say, you know what, Santino was a nobody until he was involved in that segment with Bob Barker, and now he's a superstar. And ultimately, if you are going to bring in big guys like that from the outside, that's exactly what you want to do. I mean, we remember the Mike Tyson, Steve Austin segment from Raw. We remember Buster Douglas coming in and knocking out Macho Man Randy Savage. Maybe everyone doesn't remember that, but I do.
Okay, you know, interestingly enough, though, that was supposed to be Mike Tyson.
Absolutely, and then he lost his fight in Tokyo.
Yep.
But there's been celebrities used throughout the years to help get the guys over, per se. Like we were talking earlier, I mean, if you have a relevant guy from the world coming into the world of professional wrestling, it can kind of let your pro wrestling fans know, like, hey, look, you're not nerdy. Mike Tyson's in the ring there with Steve Austin. And Charlie Sheen live-tweeting. I'm more interested in this conversation than I am than him live-tweeting.
Well, you know, to wrap it up, the thing that worked with Tyson was he's a legit tough guy. No one cares about what Charlie Sheen has to say. Ironically, maybe last year they did, but we're at least 12 months removed from anyone caring about this guy.
And, you know, one closing point, another guy who was awesome was Kevin Federline. I thought Kevin Federline could have been like a... Oh, my God, he was incredible in WWE. I thought he could have legitimately been like a heel manager that made tons of money. He was awesome.
I'm totally in love with his ex-wife, dude. I think Britney's just the hottest thing ever. Last from the past. Well, Alex, look who made an appearance on Monday Night Raw this week. Psycho Sid. Hey, even though it was a one-shot deal, it was kind of fun to see Sid Vicious back in the ring and... I don't know. Alex, what do you think his legacy is in professional wrestling now that we've had some time to think about it?
He was really tall.
He had a good look. I mean, he not only was he tall, he was well-built, had a good look. And when you think back to where we were at WrestleMania 8 when he was in that main event with Hulk Hogan, you could legitimately predict that he was going to be a major star for 15 years.
It's kind of deceiving because while he was a major star, I mean, it's not a positive at the time they flip-flopped between company and company. It often was because he wasn't generating the revenue to support his income.
Mm-hmm.
Sid never got over to a certain level. He was always limited. He couldn't do an interview by himself.
No.
But, you know, a lot of guys couldn't, but, I mean, that was a knock on him. He wasn't very good in the ring. And people just ultimately couldn't get super interested in his matches enough to purchase him. He was kind of a flop everywhere, but yet people continued to give him chances. Because you look at Sid and you see money printed all over him.
Right.
But unfortunately, he didn't translate to it. And a lot of guys from our generation remember Sid fondly as being a top guy. But he didn't really generate the revenue to support his income, like I said.
Yeah,
he was really tall.
He was, yeah, I think those are great points. The two things I always remember about Sid, I mean, more than anything else, was the fact that he's like a ringer in professional softball or something. This guy's like the greatest softball player anyone's ever seen. And the other thing was his leg injury when he jumped off the rope. I guess he had like a boot to the face that went wrong and his plant leg snapped in half. It was just the most grotesque injury I have ever seen in my life in any sport ever.
I feel like if YouTube would have been around in 2000, that Psycho Sid would have been a giant star because a lot of his promos on Nitro, you can look up on YouTube now, and they were some of the worst promos in recorded wrestling history. I mean, they were just terrible. And good for Sid, though. He's still able to get independent bookings based off his name, and that's great, you know. He looked terrible on Monday, but, you know. But, you know, at least he's not... You know, at least you're not worried about him dying or something. You know, at least he's not like a Lex Luger who is having a bunch of health problems. He's still out there on the road doing indie shows. Great for Sid.
Alex, I'm just glad the guy can walk. I mean, that injury when he snapped his leg in half was just awful.
Absolutely. And he just had a Monday night, he just had a pro wrestling match on Monday Night Raw in 2012. He had not been on since 1997. That's awesome.
I agree. This is normally the time we wrap the show, but I got to get something off my chest. I'm actually very, very excited about something. Can I share it with you?
Absolutely.
Finally, we're going to have a college football playoff. I almost can't believe it. okay, it's only four teams. Maybe it's not the perfect system. People can complain all they want. But we are going to get a college football playoff. I think it's fantastic. I think it's 20 years at least too late, but better late than ever. Can you imagine once this gets implemented how fun that season's going to be in 2014? I am thrilled, thrilled, thrilled. I am not a college football fan. Alex, do you share my excitement in this?
No.
We're in the show right now.
Actually, I don't like it at all. I mean,
come on.
These are students, and everyone argues that they shouldn't be paid, but yet we see the further people making money on them. I don't think it's fair to the students. I mean, if you wanted to pay the players, then absolutely. Do playoffs. You can do with them what you like. But if you want to hold on to the stance that they're college students and their scholarships are paying for their football activity, well, I disagree. And I felt like the BCS did a fine job of crowning the national champion every year. And I understand I'm an extreme minority. And
but why can Division II and Division III football have a playoff?
Absolutely, but no one watches Division II or Division III. Everyone watches Division I pro ball or amateur ball, whatever you want to call it. But it's big business in America, and those are kids playing at 19, 20, 21-year-olds playing football at a high level. A lot of people are making money off these kids, and they're going to make more money now because Jerry Jones is going to throw millions at college football so he can host the first national title game.
Oh, you know it's going to be in Dallas. By the way, I've just not enjoyed the show with you at all tonight. We have not seen eye to eye on anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be fun, but I don't know. It brings up the argument to me that the players should be paid.
Mm. Anything that's been on your mind lately?
You know, with the NBA Finals being over, the Miami Heat finally winning, can we drop the narrative from Miami's NBA Finals win that LeBron couldn't do it alone? There's a lot of knocks the guy for, but this isn't one. I mean, of all the things you want to knock LeBron James for, he decided to join up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. And people say, well, you can't win it alone. David, name me the NBA Finals winner of the guy who did it alone. There's no one.
No, I totally disagree. Jordan did it alone. Oh, that's not right. He had Scottie Pippen, one of the greatest players ever. Wait, Bird did it alone. Oh, that's right. He had the greatest front line of all time. You're absolutely right. It's the stupidest thing ever. And, like, let's face it. Do you like basketball? You like playing basketball?
I'm not very good at it, but it's
not what I asked. I asked, do you like it, though?
Yeah, I like playing, yes.
And wouldn't you like it more playing with your buddies?
Absolutely.
I mean, so LeBron doesn't want to play in Cleveland, which, you know, I've been to Cleveland a lot. No offense to the two listeners in Cleveland listening to this program. But Miami's better because it's beaches and it's gorgeous women and it's amazing nightclubs and it's, you know, velvet robes for LeBron. He wanted to play with his buddies in a cooler city. You can't blame him.
Absolutely not. I mean, LeBron James is my age and I believe he's might be single and all that stuff's appealing. Plus, there's no state tax.
He's actually engaged now with two kids, but, you know.
Well, you know, the kids thing is a given. But absolutely, I mean, LeBron wanted to give himself the best opportunity to win a title, and I think ultimately that's what every player of his level wants to do. And goodness Christ, LeBron James, his performances in these finals, this is the LeBron we've been asking for. He was sensational against Oklahoma as well.
Yeah.
This is what we've been asking for, and we finally got it. And let's rejoice in that instead of finding ways to knock them down.
I couldn't agree more, and I was happy for the Miami Heat, to be honest. The NBA, I thought, was tremendous in the playoffs. And well, we got the draft tomorrow. Did we touch on that yet?
And part two will be our sports podcast coming up on online, worldofwrestling.com. Just right, kidding.
Now, don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. Email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. I really enjoyed the show, and until next time, I am David.
And this is Alex.
We hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.